Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
Hey, it's a little too early for being that loud. Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Are you ready?
It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
People are waiting. The whole world is waiting.
How you doing?
Turn it up!
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Good morning, Mary Sunshine. And how are we today?
Good morning!
Guess who got out of the wrong side of the bed this morning?
It's the Mickey Plyler Show on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
For the Wednesday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show, Wednesday, May the 20th, 2020. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a good show today. Man, we have so many things to cover today, locally, regionally, nationally. There's a lot of news yesterday and a lot of things going on today and tonight. And going to jump right into them here. Love to hear from you as we look forward to a great show today. The biggest news here locally is that Barrett Carter commits to Clemson. Barrett Carter, the four-star commitment, according to all three of the services, ESPN, Rivals, and 247. Rivals has him the highest at number 37 in the country, the nation's number two linebacker, and the number three player in Georgia. 247 has him at number 74 overall, the seventh outside linebacker, and the ninth overall player in Georgia. And ESPN has him number 104 overall, the 11th linebacker, and the number 12 player in the state of Georgia. Chose Clemson over Georgia, Auburn, Florida State, Ohio State, Alabama. All were in there. As far as team rankings go, we'll go over all these later. Clemson now third in the Rivals.com ranking. And third also in the 247 rankings. We'll get you all that coming up as the show progresses, too. Looking forward to that. Talking more recruiting with Paul Strelo coming up tomorrow. Should be just a great time there. There's South Carolina news on three different fronts. First, the Gamecocks are taking pay cuts with their president, athletic director, football, basketball, women's basketball coaches all taking pay cuts. We'll tell you about that. News coming out of Columbia due to the COVID-19 situation. Secondly, that there are return dates for South Carolina. Will Muschamp mentioned yesterday three possibilities, June 1st, June 15th, July 1st, are the three dates that he has been given to look at and who he will be told, by the way. And Board of Trustees, President, AD, all these make decisions, but those are the dates that maybe SEC Commissioner too. But those are the dates been given to him. Again, June 1st, June 15th, July 1st. And then finally at South Carolina, Muschamp talked yesterday about injuries to four players. We'll give you the latest injury update there in Columbia. On Monday's show, I ripped the NFL for considering a new rule that would allow teams to jump up in the NFL draft if they hired minority head coaches or minority general managers. Good news here, the NFL has shelved that. They came to their senses. Some people criticized it, and they came to their senses and says, no, we're not doing that. So that's good news. I told you also this week about the 30 for 30, but the Last Dance. And Horace Grant commented yesterday, and he actually ripped Michael Jordan about something. We'll tell you what the former Clemson Tigers said there. Tonight, NASCAR been moved up to 6 o'clock because inclement weather facing down in Darlington. Speaking of inclement weather, pouring here in Clemson right now. Speaking of returning, Ohio State gives June the 8th as a return date to their players. So that's one of the first that we've heard a definite date there now. Buck Dunst is reporting that Ohio State players will be back June the 8th. And then finally, we'll get into Dennis Dodd, who's been so negative throughout this, and a guy that I don't follow anymore. Well, I got a tweet from somebody else. Dan Wilkins says, "Hold my beer." And he talks about something that, again, just trying to destroy college football for some reason, unionization of college football players. We'll give you his thoughts and how about USA Today's Dan Wolkin. And, man, I don't know why these guys keep bringing up these doomsday scenarios, but I think a union would be worse than COVID-19 as far as college football is concerned. We'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later on. The producer of this and many other shows, the engineer of this many other shows as well, the most eligible bachelor in the upstate of South Carolina, thus the keeper of the rose, the John underscore height in the Twitter world. Thank you, 3424. And our spunky, hanky, panky, cranky, stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, tonky, winky, wonky, donkey, and the guy that currently will get a lot of lettuce taken out of his bowl today, Mr. John Height. How you doing there, buddy? How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Mickey. I'm doing well. How you doing this morning?
Fantastic. You are telling me that it is the lettuce will be taken out of the bowl here soon.
Corona hair is going away.
Oh, man. I have other interesting haircut news. You're not alone. Josh Williams has an appointment. And I'm hoping they set the whole day apart on Friday for whoever's trying to cut his down, starting with hedge clippers.
Oh, man.
Working their way down through dulling a couple pair of scissors because he's got a big old mop.
That bad? Yeah.
His hair grows like chia pets, man. I'm talking about like it just grows and grows and grows.
Mm.
And then my third part of hair, I was at lunch yesterday, went out to eat for the first time since the March 13th.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they hand you a menu and I'm just confused. What do I do?
The owner of the place who gives me a hard time a lot of times as I give him a hard time, breaking each other's, busting each other up pretty good. Anyway, says, "What does your wife have you on?" And what are you talking about? He goes, "Your hair up there, man. It's used to be all thinned out. Now, what do you got? Plugs up there? What do you get? Some Rogaine up there?" I went, No. Just hadn't cut it. So, I might just let this thing go, man. If it's going to give me some more hair up top,
a little more coverage,
a little coverage, right? Let the rough grow a little bit. No intermediate rough, Let the rough.
I mean, we are getting near the time of the Open Championship.
That's right.
Exactly the U.S. Right. Open playing some crazy roughs. Summer hair.
Some of the native fescue going up.
Sure.
Up there.
Yeah. I know what that word means.
Tell me about your day, buddy.
Day was good. I worked for a good while and then went down. The lady prepared a wonderful Taco Tuesday. And
hold on. Did you say Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday. Excuse me. You got to sound like I'm from Mr. Or 24's native homeland there. Right. So it was a wonderful evening and then had a little game night with her and her family. So we had a really good time. How about y'all?
Now, game night includes what now? What do y'all do there?
Well, it's constantly changing. We play.
It's not like y'all playing quarters or beer pong. Y'all are playing like...
Well, we have, but not last night.
Monopoly or something, right?
No, a little card game last night. Played a little can jam out in the yard, then... the wind picked up, sun went down, so I went inside to play little cards.
Nice.
Yeah,
how about the wind and how cold it got last night?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, we were all setting up, went inside, ate some dinner. Everyone's in, shorts and a t-shirt, whatever, and then we came outside and...
Freezing.
Yeah. It was a quick game of can jam, very quick game.
12 degrees. Let's see what we had here yesterday. Mayor's mom's in town helping with the baby. Mayor's dad came up yesterday. He had a day off, so he came up. Went to lunch with some buddies. I went and practiced hit golf balls a little bit.
Didn't really? Hit
short game putting a little bit. Came home, read a bunch of football articles, a bunch of preseason, not magazines, but preseason stuff preparing.
You mean preseason magazines?
Yes. Okay. It's not magazines yet, but you know, the...
Don't mess with my emotions. I don't need to live in a world where I think Phil Steele magazine is on the shelf yet.
No, Phil Steele's is not on the shelf yet. Not on the shelf yet.
How soon are we to that?
Maybe. I don't know. Is COVID going to set us back? Normally, that's the first week of June or so.
Well, I saw yesterday he actually sat down with Jeff Scott, and Jeff Scott gave him a full breakdown of the Bulls getting ready for next season.
Nice. Nice of him to do that. Wow. So
Phil Steele's still working.
Yeah.
So hopefully we still get the magazine on time.
Yeah, of course he is, man. And then I came home and watched the Barrett Carter stuff. Fantastic. Clemson gets – it's always good to beat Georgia. As Larry Penley told me, it's always good to get that Georgia scalp. It's always good to get that Bulldog scalp in there. Mm. And they rose above hate before hate rose above them. They risked their lives. They went.
Barrett Carter's risking his life now, that's for sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you see he got some negative social media attention from Georgia fans yesterday?
Did the puppy dogs bark at him?
Yeah, they were barking pretty bad, and they got ridiculous on there.
A little bulldog behind the fence running his mouth. Oh, poor little guy.
Yapping up a little bit. So big day for Clemson, though.
You can't tweet at recruits. You can't do it.
No, don't do that, man. Don't do that.
Cleo, I'm going to make a decision.
You asked me a question before we came on the air, and you gave me a choice for segment two.
Yes.
And the question was what?
Well, yesterday we were going to do Michigan's little preseason breakdown. We've been going through CBSSports.com's preseason top 25. And yesterday we were going to do Michigan, but we pivoted to do SEC quarterbacks and that hilarious group of individuals. So, but the question was, do you want to go number 13 Michigan, 12 Wisconsin, 11 Auburn, 10 Notre Dame?
And basically three of those teams are the same. Sans Wisconsin. Michigan, Auburn, and Notre Dame are the same, as I said, is that there's always a high preseason. You never know. They're either going to go 10-2 or they're going to go 5-7. Like, it's just those are the same football programs.
But you have to put them in there due to their brand. Because it's like, who are you going to put up there? Are you going to put Memphis at number 10, even though they had a phenomenal season with a new coach?
No. You have to do it this way. You have to go and you have to look at 10 through 15 is always going to be Auburn, Michigan, Notre Dame. It's going to be this way till they put me in the ground. I'm 52. I've got 40 more years left.
Whoa, Mickey.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to live forever, but with the advances of modern medicine and your high-level income, there's no reason to think you can't live to be at least 300-400 years old.
Yeah. I'm thinking 92. Give me 92. My 95, my grandmother the other day celebrated her 95th birthday. We got some good genes in the family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm thinking 92 through all that. So anyway, so 40 more years, man. 40 more years.
Just let Drake get over the hill.
Yeah. And with that being said, so the next 40 years, those teams will be ranked between 10 and 15. Seems like it's always, you know, the same coming up. Iowa's going to be somewhere between 18 and 22.
Just going to go 8-4.
Yeah, going to go 8-4.
They'll have a high tackle and a tight end drafted.
And it's going to be the you know, they'll beat somebody at home they're not supposed to and look bad on the road and all be close games thrown out. It's just like the more you do it. It's not like the country songs, the more I drink, the more I drink, the more I drink. So through all that. So I'm looking forward to segment two. Did you make anything of the Rooney Rule stuff yesterday? Did you see the NFL has shelved?
Good.
They listened to the show, I guess, because we ripped them on Monday, a little bit on Tuesday.
That's smart. You can't. I understand wanting to incentivize. I understand wanting to promote these things. I think the Rooney Rule is a great thing. But I think you need to be hiring people based off their own merits versus trying to come up with a draft pick gimmick like that one was.
Agreed.
I think there's other ways in which to do it. I think the Rooney Rule is a very good thing, but very poor execution on the part of the league. They're smart of them to have a little awareness and not stick to something for the sake of pride of being like, well, you know, we created this, we're not giving up on it. Not smart of them to just scrap it and move on.
I also have Major League Baseball's plan going more into this, and ESPN found out a few things like frequent but not daily testing quarantine for only individuals who test positive, increasing the risk of spread. As you know, there, unless protective equipment or diagnostic testing becomes more prevalent in the coming weeks, MLB will be competing with medical providers for essential resources in some states. And MLB's plan took shape. Health officials for big cities were not consulted, leaving out the critical decision makers. So ESPN kind of rips them a little bit for that. But a little bit about more about Major League Baseball's plan and what it looks like as far as that goes. Hey, segment two is coming up. I want to tell you about our friends at Rooster. Speaking of getting that lettuce taken out of the bowl, guys, get trimmed up. You know you're looking bad, man. You got that scraggly beard. You got the gray in there a little bit. You got the hair's kind of curling up and curling out and going all kinds of different directions. And you want to look good, your lady will notice it. Go in, get your hair cut at Rooster's off of Pelham Road over in Greenville. Don't do the express deal if you have time, man. Go get the full deal, the head massage, the neck massage, and just feel great. I could use a good head and neck massage right now myself, buddy. The friends at Rooster's love to help you out. It's off of Pelham Road again, roostersmgc.com. It's roostersmgc.com. We'll come back. Segment two with John Height when you return right after this.
The drive-thru is open, and the food is the real deal. Buy 20 Supremes and get 5 free, all for just $25 at Bojangles. It's bow time.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
If you're a pro who manages properties or replaces appliances regularly, it helps to have a go-to resource like Lowe's. We have the brands pros have trusted for years. Solid names like Maytag, Whirlpool, and GE. All easily ordered on lowesforpros.com and all quickly delivered to the job site with free delivery 7 days a week. Even better, you can get up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event. Whatever you need today or any day, Lowe's is pro ready. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery applies to appliances $299 or more, U.S. only.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
We
no sports. We are the Roar.
John, man, good stuff there, buddy. Kind of a dramatic song, isn't it?
It is, but boy, is it a good one.
Oh, so good. So good. I like this part right here. Oh. Get into it, my friend. You're letting the lead out on a Wednesday. Speaking of Wednesday, Lakeside Lodge is a big day over at Lakeside Lodge, man. They are rocking and rolling now, open and ready for your business. And they've created this space that Clemson people are going to love. It's going to be a whole new culture there, a whole new relationships you'll see around there. It's our great friends at Lakeside Lodge in Clemson. Lakeside Lodge is on the lake. It's, you can see Death Valley from it. It's just, it's got this hot tub and pool and lobby bar and fitness area and meeting spaces and tailgate spots and amphitheaters. And we've been there, man. It's amazing. One, our studio, 2 and 3 bedrooms, open for business now. Go by and see Taj. Check it out. If you are looking at making money on your condo when you aren't there, the condo tail aspect of it works. Lakeside Lodge belongs in Clemson, so do you. 775-5550, 775-5550 at lakesidelodgeclemson.com. Segment two with Mr. John Height.
Mickey, it's been easier for people to focus on what Jim Harbaugh hasn't been able to do at Michigan since returning to Ann Arbor to take over his alma mater. In his 5 seasons, he hasn't won a national title. He hasn't won the Big Ten. Nor has he won the East Division. Perhaps the most important thing he hasn't done in the eyes of many is beat Ohio State. What he has done, however, is raise expectations. Harbaugh's teams have gone 47-18. While not good enough for some, it's much better than the 46-42 mark Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez had during the 7 seasons they were in charge. Harbaugh's teams have won at least 10 games in 3 of his 5 seasons, the first time the program has done that since a stretch from 2002 to 2006. Harbaugh would be the first to admit, however, that's not enough, and there's more work to do heading into 2020. Little recap of 2019. They came in with a final ranking of 17 in the country while beating number 8 Notre Dame 45-14 and number 14 Iowa 10-3. Things seemed to set up well for the Wolverines in 2019. They had a veteran team with a senior quarterback, and they were making a switch on offense, not all that dissimilar to the change LSU made in Baton Rouge. Things went a lot more smoothly for the Tigers, though. It took a while for Michigan to find its rhythm on offense. The unit struggled to find consistency, even as it got off to a 5-1 start. The record helped cover the fact that 92 of the team's 182 points in those 6 games came against Middle Tennessee and Rutgers. Oddly enough, things seemed to click during the second half of Michigan's 28-21 loss to Penn State. The Wolverines nearly came back to win that game, and a week later, they crushed number 8 Notre Dame 45-14 at home. Wolverines won 4 straight, averaging 41.5 points per game and never scored fewer than 38. But then came the 56-27 loss to Ohio State and a no-show in the second half of a 35-16 loss to Alabama in the Citrus Bowl. Those two performances against elite teams wiped out any good feelings about where the offense had gotten to and sent the Wolverines into the offseason with a bad taste in their mouths. They do have some key departures. 4/5 of the offensive line. Wolverines had 10 players selected in the 2020 draft, and 4 of them were starters on the offensive line. Cesar Ruiz went in the first round, Ben Bradison in 4th, Michael Onwuehu 5th, and John Runyon in the 6th. They're all gone. I apologize for mispronouncing any of those names. With them, they take a lot of experience and ability and leave a lot of question marks about who will replace them in 2020. Another key departure, according to some anyways, will be quarterback Shea Patterson. Patterson never managed to live up to the hopes and dreams of many Michigan fans when he transferred to Ann Arbor from Ole Miss. But he was arguably the best QB the program has had since Denard Robinson. Linebackers Hudson and Glasgow are gone. They finished number 1 and 2 in team and tackles last season. Hudson a 101, Glasgow with 89. He also finished with 5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. It's a lot of production to replace. Both guys going in the 5th and 6th rounds. While also losing several starters on the defense, as well as wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones. A lot of losses, a lot of pieces to replace there. Coming back, however, they've got a two-headed monster in the backfield of Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins. Charbonnet finished his freshman season as the team's leading rusher with 726 yards and 11 touchdowns. Haskins wasn't far behind in yards with 622 and averaged more per carry, 5.14 to 4.87. Both are going to see significant carries in 2020. Wide receivers Ronnie Bell and Nico Collins were an excellent pairing that complemented one another. Bell was the possession receiver leading the team with 48 catches, 758 yards. Collins was the big play guy as he averaged about 20 yards per reception while catching 37 passes with 7 touchdowns. They do have some fresh faces as well. A nice quarterback battle between Dylan McCaffrey and Joe Milton. They've seen both of them play over the last couple years. But one of them, barring a late transfer addition, will emerge as the full-time starter in 20. McCaffrey seems to be the favorite amongst those on the outside, but Milton has a lot of talent and should not be counted out. Critical games coming up for this season. Obviously, you got to start at the opener at Washington, if it's played. You certainly can't argue that Michigan is playing a soft non-conference schedule, considering it's starting the season on the road against a strong Washington team. Considering all the new starters the Wolverines have to work in, it might regret scheduling this game. Week 4, they take on Wisconsin. Week 5, Penn State. Week 7, at Minnesota. Boy, that's a tough stretch. And week 13, at Ohio State. It says here for the 2020, it's hard to know how good Michigan could reasonably be in 2020. While it sits at number 13 in our preseason rankings, it's not crazy to think that the Wolverines will finish a lot lower than that at season's end. Nor is it crazy to think they could finish in the top 10. The most glaring concerns heading into 2020 are the lack of experience on this roster and a demanding schedule. There are only 11 returning starters, and nearly the entire offensive line is gone. From a production standpoint, Michigan's returning production ranks 125th of 130 teams by one metric. That means there are a lot of questions we don't have answers to yet. When you peruse the schedule, there aren't a lot of gimmies. Sure, Ball State and Arkansas State should be easy wins, and it's hard to imagine Rutgers will provide much of a threat. Both Purdue and Maryland should be wins in Ann Arbor, but both teams have enough talent to be capable of pulling off an upset. The other 7 games should all be challenging. At the same time, an optimist, though, can look at the situation and see a team entering the second year of a new offensive system, one that should be more familiar to all involved, and that should lead to more consistent results. You could also argue that while Shea Patterson was efficient, he wasn't elite, and that limited Michigan's offensive ceiling. Either Dylan McCaffrey or Joe Milton could conceivably raise that. The odds that Michigan will finish the regular season somewhat around 9 wins, and how the season is viewed will largely depend on those on who those 9 wins came against.
John, several things. One, he's a little bit like Tom Herman in that the more we find out about Jim Harbaugh, the weirder we think he is, and the stranger we think he is.
That's true.
In a quick Google search, I found the top 5 wackiest things he's ever done. Number 5 is saying he models his life after SpongeBob SquarePants. The quote is, "I love his attitude. He attacks each day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I've kind of modeled my behavior after him. We all should. What a great employee he is. He's a go-getter. He's always got bounce in his step. He has that pizzazz. He puts his heart and soul into making those Krabby Patties. I think he's awesome."
Well, you can tell that guy's got 14 kids.
Mm. The number 4 is, "Who's got it better than us" video. I hadn't seen this. I had to.
Oh, really?
No, I hadn't seen that one.
"Who's got it better than us?" And the whole team shouts, "Nobody."
Number 3 is, he gave the Pope a Michigan helmet. Pope Francis.
And a pair of Michigan Jordans.
Mm.
Because, you know, the Pope's got it, you know, is clearly a Jordan guy. Probably a big sneakerhead.
Number 2 is donuts in the big house. The moment where he did a video of Harbaugh doing donuts in a Dodge Demon on the floor of the big house.
And
the number one everybody knows is sleepovers at recruit's house. I mean, you can't have sleepovers. That's weird. His statements are weird. The way he looks at people is weird. The way he talks to people is weird. He's just a weird dude. Is 10 wins enough at Michigan? Maybe. Yeah. Is it better than Brady Hoke, Rich Rodriguez? Yeah. He's lost four consecutive bowl games. In 5 years, he's only finished inside the top 10 or top 10 or better once. He's never finished better than 10th. And worse than anything else is the gap between them and Ohio State is widening. In his first year, Ohio State beat him 42-13. And you're thinking, you know what? Hey, and that was at home and it wasn't good. But say, hey, he's taking over a program, right? Second year where they ranked third in the country come in the game, they lose by three in double overtime, fairly controversial stuff. That was in Columbus, but and so you think he's got things righted. His third year they lose by 11, that was at home. The fourth year in which he's the favorite is Urban Meyer's going on the way out. Ohio State's not as good as we thought. Michigan's ranked fourth in the country, and he gets a 62 burger put on him, 62-39. Then last year in Ann Arbor, for the third time in three tries, Ohio State goes and beats him in Ann Arbor, this time 56-27. John, they're giving up over 44 points a game to Ohio State. It hadn't been close. And I didn't realize this, that you got to go back to 2000. Since 2003, Michigan has beaten Ohio State once. Since 2003. If you're a Michigan fan, this has to end. Let me remind you that from, someone was saying this. Man, from 76 until 2003, Michigan kind of, they did more than, let me see what I'm saying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. They had 18 wins. 6, 7, 8, 9. They were 18-9. They won two-thirds of the games. Between 76 and 2003, 18-9 against Ohio State. But since 2003, Michigan's beaten Ohio State once. And you just, how about this? Since 2003, they've not won in Columbus, and they've won one game in Ann Arbor. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me, bear with me one more time here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 1-7 at home against Ohio State since 2003. 1-7.
You got to be better than that.
You can't have that. Imagine Clemson going 1-7 against South Carolina at home?
No.
You can't have it, man. And the other thing is, it hadn't been close. The last 2 years, they've given up 62 and 56 points to Ohio State. Now, here's the final part of it about Michigan and Ohio State. Last year was, or 2 years ago, that was the deal. That was the year. Ohio State was in turmoil. Michigan was ranked fourth in the country. If Michigan wins, they go to the Big Ten Championship game, and then if they win that, they're going to the college football playoff. What happened? Gave up 62 to Ohio State and got beat. So this year, you're thinking, okay, Urban Meyer's gone. Finally, Urban Meyer is gone. Meyer dominated Michigan, but Urban Meyer is now finally gone. Let's go get it. What happens? Ryan Day comes in and puts up 56 on him in Ann Arbor. As the nation's number one team, knocks you back out of like almost at 20, top 20. And on top of that, you look at how he's recruiting now. He went to the college football playoffs last year, how he's recruiting now. And the bottom line is that the gap is widening between Michigan and Ohio State. Not with Urban Meyer going, they're closing the gap. The gap is widening under Ryan Day. And it looks like Ryan Day's future is much brighter than Jim Harbaugh's future. And you can talk about Wisconsin, you can talk about Minnesota, you can talk about Penn State all you want. But if you're Michigan, you better beat Ohio State. And if you're Michigan, you better win the Big Ten. And if you're Michigan, you better get the college football playoff eventually, man. This is too good of a program, too proud of a program, and a program that should be better than they are right now. Is he better than Brady Hoke and Rodriguez? Sure.
Absolutely.
But is he where Michigan should be? And the answer is not even close.
No. Do you think when they're getting to that Ohio State game, because they're just I mean, when I look at this team, I think half of it, maybe not half. I mean, Ohio State is significantly more talented than every team in that conference. But a lot of it has to be mental.
Yeah. Well, the offense and the offensive identity was one thing.
It's one thing, but I'm talking about for Don Brown and that defense that we, you know, rant and rave about, you know, from September to mid-November about how great they are. I mean, is that just one of those things that, you know, you just kind of get in your head where it's, and he just completely forgets what he's doing? Because it's not like they're giving up, you know, 40-something every week and then, oh, an extra touchdown, we get into the 50s against Ohio State. I mean, it's 30-point difference.
Yeah. I think Brown's really good. Right?
I do, too.
I think he's really, really good. But there is a... I think the thing comes down to offense, myself. Harbaugh wanted to be fullback and tight end you. He was going out of the eye. And it took you double overtime and 24 points to beat Army. You know, you scored 14 against Wisconsin last year. You scored 10 against Iowa last year. You scored 21 against – I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You scored 10 against Iowa. You scored 21 to Penn State in a loss. You scored 16 against Alabama. And they didn't have a great defense last year, as far as they're concerned.
No. And
I think last year it was the offense. It's just that they weren't very good.
No, I think they just kept waiting for Shea Patterson to turn the corner, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
Because they've had some talent around them.
And maybe now, look, maybe it's Shea Patterson. Maybe that's it, that they just put too many eggs in his basket and they put too much, you know, thought in him. He's just – not a fan. Not a fan at all.
No.
The other thing they've got to do there is, you know, it's time for them to win a big game. Now, yeah, they beat Wisconsin before and they beat Penn State before, but, you know, the way Notre Dame beats and the way Ohio State beats and the way that they lose their bowl games. They lost 4 out of 5 bowl games. They lost their last 4 bowl games under Harbaugh. They for the most part, you know, Michigan State had their number early, but they've kind of turned that around. Michigan State's in shambles now. Penn State's, they've been on a fairly even playing field with Penn State. But 3 straight SEC losses in bowl games.
Well, because it doesn't mean more. It doesn't mean more.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean more to Michigan. It means more to those, you know, opponents.
And you look at their, bear with me a second. This is the 2016 season. You scored 14 against Wisconsin. You scored 13 against Iowa in a loss. You scored 20 against Indiana. I mean, the offense has just struggled at times. In the 8-5 season, 2017, in that year, you scored 10 against Michigan State. You scored 13 against Penn State. You scored 10 against Wisconsin. You scored 20 against Ohio State. You scored 19 against South Carolina. All those losses. It's the offense, man. Harbaugh stuck in the 80s, fullback tight end forever. And they've had some good tight ends. But they've not been explosive. And Ohio State has passed them in terms of explosive offenses. And it makes Harbaugh look bad. And then last year, so they tried it and it didn't work. And so, you know, like I said, maybe it was Patterson's fault. And I wouldn't blame him, you know, but I can buy that. But you better get it straightened out soon. Because if I'm Michigan, I don't like what I see. At least when Dabo Swinney got beat 5 in a row against South Carolina, at least he was winning his bowl games. He was winning his division. He was winning his conference every once in a while. And he's playing in these big bowl games and he's winning some of them. And building. I don't see any building at Michigan. I don't see it. How does year 6 look different than year 5, 4, 3, or 2? Talk about that all the time. How does it look different?
It doesn't right now.
Yeah. Anyway. Crazy stuff. I enjoy segment 2, as I always do. What? I mean, you don't believe in him, right?
I'm so torn. Because, see, I'm one of those people that I kind of think, like, there's a place of football for these weird eccentric coaches like him.
Yeah.
And when I look at a coach, at some, you know, I look at what I want to play for that guy. I would play for Jim Harbaugh.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you got a scholarship to Ohio State and to Michigan right now,
I would go Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly for my just great disdain for everything scarlet and gray, but Yeah, I've always heard great things about Ann Arbor and University of Michigan. It just I like Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh. I do. I just think it's...
You do? I didn't know this about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I like Harbaugh. I just...
I digress the last 20 minutes.
No. Everything you said is right. I'm not trying to say that it's not. And I have a soft spot for someone who's had success to get to go back to their alma mater. It just hasn't worked.
I would say this about Harbaugh. I didn't know you liked him, by the way.
That's fine. I mean, I'd take Dabo Swinney over him, that's for sure. So
I would say Harbaugh is the opposite of Holtz and Spurrier in that Harbaugh is one of those guys. I put Harbaugh kind of like a Mike Leach.
I could see that.
Mike Leach is a guy, in my opinion, that you love if he's somewhere else, but, man, you don't want him as your guy. Because, yeah, he's going to say some funny stuff, and Harbaugh's going to say some weird stuff and give you these weird looks and act crazy and all, but you don't want him to be in your head coach, in my opinion.
I get that. Know you liked him. I get that. Yeah, I think he's good for the sport.
I didn't know that. Khaki guy. Might say something about how weird you are, man.
Hey, as my father always says, everyone's weird but you and me, and I'm beginning to wonder about you.
I like your dad, man. I love it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Dan Walken says, Dennis Dodd, hold my beer. What that could tell you about after the USA Today column after a short break.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the second national championship of the Dabo Swinney era as the Tigers and the Crimson Tide face off in the championship game of the 2019 College Football Playoff. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority Run, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. 44-16, the Tigers and the Tide. This Clemson Classic game replay Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
Our homes have been lived in more than ever. Restore your home back to its glory with the help of Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch services. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com.
After a national health scare, I figured it was time to get serious about my health. I was pre-diabetic, snored heavily, and had no energy. The health there helped me the easy way. I was skeptical of the program, but after losing 27 pounds of belly fat in the first month, I'm a believer. No shots, starvation, or gimmicks, and my energy is through the roof. If you have diabetes, hypertension, or sleep apnea, call 1-877-IDARE-ME for your free consultation or go to IDARE-ME.com. Tell them Lou sent you and get the second program totally free. I took the health there, now I dare you.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
For 25 years, Husqvarna Automowers have been the best-selling worldwide. With the Husqvarna Automower Crown Commitment Program, you'll enjoy your weekends and know that if you're not satisfied with the performance of your Husqvarna Automower within 60 days of purchase from a Husqvarna dealer, return it for a full refund or exchange. Easley Lawn and Garden offers Husqvarna Automowers as well as the expert installation and service you need. Trust them to get you set up with the right Husqvarna Automower just for your yard. After all, Easley Lawn and Garden has been your trusted local source for nearly 40 years. Let a Husqvarna Automower do the work while you relax. Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna Automower professionals for sales, installation, and service. For all your power equipment needs. Veteran and family-owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
Has this ever happened to you? I wasn't feeling great, so I searched my symptoms on Google, and now I'm being followed by really uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal information is being bought and sold. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
More live local sports than cars on Woodruff Road. You're listening to The Roar.
At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Have a little Zeppelin Stones battle here. I heard all the best fast food places, heard all the stuff, best sports announcers at March Madness. Didn't hear any Zeppelin versus Stones March Madness. John's doing it right now. A little May Madness for us. Hey, think about our friends at Granger Nissan. Granger Nissan of Anderson, proud partners of the Clemson Tigers, home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. They want to help you out at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com. Here's what I'm telling you, that these people are fantastic with no pressure. First of all, you have great products. It's easy to be a good salesperson when you have a great product. Now, their products are outstanding, but it's more than that. It's the service. It's the deals. It's the specials that they have. It's their no-pressure approach. It's the warranty on the back end of it. I mean, lifetime powertrain warranty, I talk about it all the time, really was fantastic. We love that. So go by and see our great friends at Granger Nissan of Anderson. Their website says GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com. Hey, if you're in the Greenville area, it's a 25-minute ride over off of Clemson Boulevard there in Anderson. And that's not anything you'll find in a lot of other places. The lifetime powertrain warranty at Granger Nissan of Anderson. com. Let's get to our phone line, 654-ROAR. Delvin checks in on a rainy Wednesday morning. Hey, good morning, Delvin. Thanks for hanging on, friend. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're blessed, man. Very blessed.
Well, you were going over Jim Harbaugh's resume. You know what I was thinking? You know the one coach I was thinking of? Bo Pelini at Nebraska. Always win 9 games, come win the big one.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys. Frank Solich at Nebraska. I mean, some of those guys that have they been good? Yes. Have they been great? No. And then you run that risk. And it's a little bit like the Cleveland Indians all those years, that they were winning and winning their division but couldn't get past it, so they made a move and it took them years to get back. That kind of thing. Are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to go backwards? And I'm not sure if I'm Michigan I would go backwards, if I'm willing to go backwards. But again, in trying to decide it, I don't know. Is Jim Harbaugh Michigan? Is that who you want? I mean, at some time in there, you got to decide that, hey, the weird off-the-field stuff doesn't work unless you're winning. If you're winning, man, you're loved it. Hey, he's quirky. He's peculiar. He's great. If you're not winning at a highest level, then you go, man, this guy's kind of strange. I don't know. I wouldn't want my son playing for him. John says he'd play for him, though, but I wouldn't want mine playing for him.
Yeah, but you saying a setback? You right about that? I just thought about that. Ever since they let Nebraska go, Bo Pelini, they ain't been the same.
Look, it's Nebraska football. If you are 25 years old, you're probably thinking, "What's he talking about, Nebraska? Nebraska? No, Let me tell you, Nebraska football was unbelievable in my formative years. You go back to those 60s and 70s and 80s." Man, you had some unbelievable teams in there. But as of late, they've not been a factor. And I don't know if there's an end to it right now. I thought Scott Frost might have been the guy, but it goes to show you just how hard it is to be the guy. But, Delvin, how old are you, Delvin, by the way?
37.
All right. You're right there on the edge of it. And Nebraska was – I have to go back and find another way. Nebraska won national championships. They won Heisman trophies. They won, I mean, it's amazing what they're able to do. But it's not been that way as of late. I'll give that rundown here in a second. But those 70s, 80s Nebraska teams, they were Miami of the 90s. They were Florida State of the 2000s. They were Clemson, Alabama of this decade. They were the best football program in the country, but hadn't been the case as of late.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I think when you reading Jim Harbaugh's resume, I said that reminds me of Bo Pelini. He was winning nine games every year, and Nebraska thought they wasn't good enough. Remember, Nebraska said that's not good enough to win nine games every year. You remember they said that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember for sure. Now, here's the thing about Nebraska, too. Nebraska didn't have, like, this great lineage until Bob Devaney came in the 60s. And at that point in time, he turned them around. They weren't a great program. In the 40s and 50s, while Notre Dame and Michigan and Southern Cal were doing all this stuff, they didn't do it. They didn't really do it until 1970. Well, they did in the mid-60s with, you know, winning a conference and going to the Orange Bowl. But Nebraska won the national championship in 70 and 71. And then Nebraska won the national championships in 94, 95, and 97. But outside of that, man, they were in the top 10. I'm going to start in 70, okay? This is the – make sure I got the final rankings on here. This is the final AP rankings for Nebraska, starting in 1970. First, fourth, seventh, ninth, 12th, eighth, ninth, seventh, 11th, third, second, fourth, 11th, fifth, sixth, 10th, 11th. And there's a 24 back in 1990. Then 15th, 14th, third, first. I mean – it was a 25-year period in there where they were always in the top 10, and they won four national championships, five according to the coaches poll. And they were dominant, man. They were always in the top five, top 10 in the country. They were always winning the big. Them in Oklahoma were always in the national championship hunt. Hadn't been that way as of late.
Yeah, and I think that I don't see Jim Harbaugh get fired. I see him probably taking the NFL head coaching job before he get fired from Michigan.
You know,
he always wears out his welcome everywhere he go. Like, he spent like 4 or 5 years at the place, and then he takes off.
Yeah, here's the thing about it, though. He had such a rocky relationship with the front office in San Francisco. I think the NFL, I think it might have scared NFL teams from him. He's such a weird dude. And remember, I mean, they were rolling in San Francisco. People forget about that, man. The 49ers were having – they were unbelievable, but they couldn't get along with anybody.
But, Mickey, it turns out that maybe he was right. He should have stayed the 49ers because the general manager – a lot of people say it was a lot of bad going on with that. He had a problem with the general manager. And he said the general manager is not there anymore. He said the 49ers turn the program around. Because remember when Jim Barr was there, they struggled. And then the general manager was still there. And then he got fired. The 49ers turned the program around. Maybe it was the general manager. So we don't know.
Yeah. But I'm leaning towards Harbaugh because Harbaugh's a weird dude anyway, you know. Anyway,
we got to have a little weirdness in our life, man. We can't be normal.
I guess I'm just glad it's weird on their end, not on our end.
Yeah, but that's what I think is gonna happen. I ain't gonna say they're gonna fire him, but they'll be like, hey man, maybe you want to take that. They're gonna try to push my daughter. Hey man, maybe you want to take the NFL head coaching job over there.
The hard part for them, though, is that he's a Michigan man. He's a Schembechler man. He played there. It was his dream. He came back. He was going to save the program. A little bit like Scott Frost. He's going to come back. He's going to save our program. We're going back to get our guy. And he hadn't been the guy. So how do you get out of that? It's tough to do. Got to be tough to do.
Yeah, Brady Hoke was a Michigan man, too. We saw that turned out.
Yeah. I still say Rodriguez was on the way to turning them around. And they kind of jumped the gun and got rid of him too soon. But,
yeah. Well, I did, Mickey.
Thank you, Delvin. Have a great day, bud. Stay dry. I've got a couple of minutes. Let's get Clemson Dominates before we get to the top of the hour. Good morning, Clemson Dominates. I got a few minutes, man. How you doing this morning?
Yeah, real good. Breaking news out of Columbus. Ryan Day still hasn't accepted that Clemson beat him. And still blaming the refs on that one. Just anytime I can take a shot at Ohio State, I got to do it. You guys were talking about music, so this is from 1975. These are my top five albums, and if you could pick out which one you think is best, Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, Queen, A Night at the Opera, and Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger.
Oh, that's it. When I lay, every day I take Drake back for a nap in the afternoon. And every day he hears, "Can I sleep in your arms tonight, lady?" Couldn't believe it was true. Redheaded stranger, time with a preacher, blue eyes crying in the rain. I sing all the whole melody all the way through. By the time I get to blue eyes crying in the rain, he's asleep. Redheaded stranger is my favorite album of all time, and something I sing in my head and can't get it out of my head. I'm glad you included that one.
No, absolutely. And then between the rock albums, because obviously I'm a big Willie Nelson fan too.
Yeah.
Between the Pink Floyd "Wish You Were Here" and Queen "Night at the Opera," Led Zeppelin "Physical Graffiti," and Bruce Springsteen "Mordora," and which one would you?
I was always a Springsteen fan. Album? Lately, I got to go to "Physical Graffiti," but forever and ever and ever, the "Born to Run" album kind of set things. I hadn't seen the, by the way, I only got about a minute here, but I hadn't seen the Springsteen movie. Have you seen it yet? The
yeah,
the one
it's
about
really
the kid?
Good. Very yeah. good. Yeah, it's yeah. very good. You got to watch it. Blinded right. by the Light.
Yeah, Blinded by the Light. That's right. I'll try to check it out. But I didn't know you're a Redheaded Stranger fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, Redheaded Stranger, yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, old country, like, 60s and 70s. You know, like, so, I mean, I obviously I like guys like George Strait and Alan Jackson, but most of the modern stuff, that's like, too much, like, trying to mix rock into country, and country has just got, like, a certain pace, you know. You don't want to rush it and make it too fast and too electric, you know. It's just, like, stuff you want to chill out to. You know, I just like I like being on my front porch and just listening to old country.
I'm going to get John Hite on a little Redheaded Stranger this morning. Clemson Dominates, I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
All right, later.
Hey, John, quickly before we get to the top of the hour here, you do realize that you can't kill a man for shooting a woman who's trying to steal your horse.
See, that's just logic.
The yellow-haired lady, she cast greedy eyes on the babe, and so he shot her so fast he had no time to warn her. Love for you to come back. Hour number 2.